नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। So we are continue the reading of Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 22, Text 31, the subject of Bali Maharaj surrenders his life. So there are 9 processes of devotional service, and one of those processes is called Atmanivedanam, which means complete surrender, which is the actual requirement for anyone who wants to engage in the devotional service to the Lord. Surrender means unconditional surrender, wholesale, complete surrender, with no expectation. Which means total surrender unto Krishna. And this is what Bali has done. And then from the text that we are going to read today, it seems that the Lord actually appreciated the surrender of Bali. The Lord appreciated the surrendering, and then he was rewarded by it for his surrender to the Lord. Of course, pros and cons of this reward, this is part of the subject matter that we try to discuss this morning. So, text 31. Isame papitastanam duspraapam amarai api sabane antarashrayam Bhavi Tendyo Madashraya. Esa Bali Maharaj, by me, Prapita has achieved Sthanam, a place, Dusprapam, extremely difficult to obtain. Amarai, Api, even by the demigods, Sarvane Antarashraya, during the period of the Manu, known as Sarvane, I am this Bali Maharaj, Bhavita, will become Indra, the Lord of the heavenly planets, Matashrayaha, completely under my protection. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki. The Lord continued, because of His great tolerance, I have given Him a place not obtainable even by the demigods. He will become king of the heavenly planets during the period of the Manu known as Sarvane. Purport. This is the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Even if the Lord takes away a devotee's material opulences, the Lord immediately offers him a position of which the demigod cannot even dream. There are many examples of this in the history of devotional service. One of them is the opulence of Sudama Vipra. Sudama Vipra suffered severe material scarcity, but he was not disturbed and did not deviate from devotional service. Thus, he was ultimately given an exalted position by the mercy of Lord Krishna. Here the word Madhastraya is very significant because the Lord wanted to give Bali Maharaj the exalted position of Indra. The demigods might naturally have been envious of him and might have fought to disturb his position. But the Supreme Personality of Godhead assured Bali Maharaj that he will always remain under the Lord's protection. Gurave Gurachandraya Hadikaitadaya Krishna Ya Krishna Bhaktaya Tad Bhaktaya Namo Namaha Agyana Trimindasya Gana Gana Salakaya Chashnutaya Natasma Sri Gurave Namaha Vancha Kapatrubhya Cha Kripa Sindhya Vacha Padi Tana Pohana Bhivasana Bhya Namo Namaha. Hello, Hare Krishna. Hello, Hare Bhav. Don't make noise. Esame Prapitashtanam Dusprapan Amarayapi Savane Antarashrayam Bhavitendyo Madhastraya. The Lord continued, because of his great opulence, or because of his great tolerance, I have given him a place not obtainable even by the demigods. He will become king of the heavenly planet during the period of the Manu known as Savane. So here, Bali Maharaj apparently has been given a very mighty reward by the Lord. First of all, he was given a place of residence within this material world, Sutala planet, Sutala Loka. Even though this Sutala might have supposedly be part of the Hellish planet, because it's below the Earth planet. There are seven planetary systems below, and the Sutala, we have Patala, Telatala, you know, there are many Telata, you know, lot of different planets are there in the lower planet, and Sutala is one of them. Now, this Sutala, being supposedly heavenly planet, does not mean that it's a place of suffering. Because heavenly planet normally is a place whereby people go to suffer, you know. You go to suffer. But this particular planet does not really indicate it's a place of suffering. Actually, it was mentioned that this Sutala planet was actually an extension of Vaikuntha planet, which the Lord himself planted below the lower planet for the purpose of putting Bali Maharaj there. And this, the enjoyment that is available in this planet actually surpasses that of the heavenly planet. And also it's a place that is free from anxiety, is free from disturbance. No anxiety, no disturbance. Why? Because the Lord himself, he will be the guide, he will be the, himself is giving his own personal protection. He will always be there. Whereas in the heavenly planet, you know, the demigods, even though they have such a great place, they always been disturbed all the time. They always facing all kind of disturbance by the demons. But this particular planet, there's no disturbance. So which means it's practically as good as Vaikuntha. And this is the place by which has been given to Bali Maharaj to reside. And of course, he will always be protected by the Lord himself. The Lord was his chokidar, his security guard. Which means no one dared to come there and try to create any disturbance. And then, not just that, Bali was also given a big promise that in the next manu, the Savani manu, in the next manu, Bali will always also be the Indra, the next Indra. Because there are 14 manus. During the day of Brahma, there are 14 manus. This This particular period that we are in now, the Manu, his name is Vaivashrata Manu, is the one that is currently, you know, ruling. And each Manu stays for 72 yugas. So for one Manu, there's also one Indra. One Manu, one Indra is there. And each of them, they stay for 72 yugas. So 72 yugas is, that is 4.1 million times 71. Because there are four yugas is there. That's Satya Yug, Treta Yug, Dwapara Yug, and Kali Yug. Altogether, the four yugas combined to be 4.3 million years, is it? Is it 4.3 million years? So the four yugas to go together. Of course, 1,000 of those yugas, that is one day of Lord Brahma. Sahasra Yuga Parayantan, Ahaya Brahma Novidu. So 1,000 of yugas is one day of Brahma. So each Manu stays for 14, each Manu stays for 71 yugas. And so for one 71 yuga period, there's one Manu and then there is one Indra. So Bali, it will be the next Indra. Now, if we start deliberating, if we start thinking of it, this does mean that because Bali had surrendered everything to the Lord, he has given everything, he gave all his possessions, because the Lord had come as a Brahman, he had come as a Brahmana, and begged for three steps of land. And because Bali, you see, is a very charitable, he loves to give charity, and especially to Brahmanas. See, that's one thing, in the Vedic time, in the Vedic age, the demons, even though the demons, they do things opposed to the will of the Lord, but they're always very charitable, especially to the Brahmanas. They're very charitable in the Vedic time. Just like Jarasandha, you know, he was a big demon. He fought Lord Krishna so many times, 18 different times he fought Lord Krishna. You know, he was giving, and each of those times he was fighting with the Lord, the Lord defeated him each of those 18 times. So, when the Lord decided finally to kill Jarasandha, and because each of the time that Jarasandha was defeated by the Lord, each of those times, so many thousands and millions of, soldiers were killed. So the Lord didn't want to kill anyone this time. He just wanted to kill Jarasandha. So the Lord, he along with Bhima and Arjun, so they went to the palace of Jarasandha and they dressed as Brahmana. So they dressed as Brahmana, so they went to his palace. So when Jarasandha, he welcomed them nicely, you know, because in the Vedic time, the Brahmanas are always honored in the Vedic time. So Jarasandha, he welcomed them and asked them, "What do you want? Why are you here?" So Lord Krishna said, "We have come here to fight with you. We have come here to fight with you. That's why we are here." So Jarasandha said, "Okay." We said, "Well, actually, I already know who you are. I know that you are Krishna himself, and this is Arjuna, and this is Bhima, but you have come in the guise of a Brahmana to beg charity from me, so therefore, I'm ready to grant your wish." So in this way, there was a fight that took place between Bhima and Jarasandha, and this fight took place for over a period of 1 month. And ultimately, Jarasandha was killed ultimately. So this is the very civilization that even the Brahmana, even the demons, they are very, very charitable to the Brahmanas. Of course, in this particular age, everything is upside down. Everything is upside down. The Brahmanas are no more recognized. As a matter of fact, the Brahmanas have been oppressed, left and right. Actually, in Kali Yuga, of course, there are no more Brahmanas anyway, because the so-called Brahmanas are simply the demons in the dress of Brahmanas, and they're exploiting, they are exploiting everything. This is the nature of Kali Yuga. So Bali was being given reward because he surrendered everything. It's because when he could not give the the 3 steps of land which the Lord had requested, because with 2 steps, the Lord covered the entire universe, everything. Now there's no place to place his third step. So Bali said, I've given you my promise, but I'm unable to fulfill your promise. So therefore, you can please put your third step on my head. So he surrendered his head as a place whereby the Lord can put his third step. So in this way, Bali, so he surrendered everything to the Lord. And the Lord was very, very pleased by this act of surrender. And when devotees, when they surrender, they do this without any consideration. They just, when the Lord says, Savadama Pratyagya, Mami Kansanam Braja, just give up everything, whatever you are, no conception, just surrender everything unto me. And then of course the Lord said, okay, Master Chai said, do not fear, because I'm going to give you all protection. This is what the Lord says in the, in the Bhagavad Gita. So Bali, because of surrender, so Bali has been given this position. If you go to the Sutala planet, where he will live undisturbed, at the same time in his next life, he will become the next Indra. Now, are we to assume that this is the price of surrendering to the Lord? Is that the price that one gets? That okay, when you surrender fully to the Lord, you get this much. You will go to the higher planet, or you will go to some particular planet. So this is the reward of surrendering. But no, devotional service to the Lord does not indicate that. It's not that we are attempting to surrender to the Lord because we're going to get a particular reward. Otherwise, it just become a simply business arrangement. The Lord does not want us to do business with him. That becomes, this is called a devotional service with a calculation. I'm doing this because I want this. Whereas devotional service is supposed to be ahaituki. Ahaituki means costless. Must be ahaituki, apratiyata, costless, and also must be uninterrupted. Devotee simply rendering service to the Lord because the Lord, you want to please the Lord. He want to make the Lord happy. Devotees do have no any consideration of what is good or what is bad. It's a hard to key, a pratiya that is costless. This is what we call costless. No consideration of, okay, I want this, I want that. No. Otherwise, it's no more. It's not really devotion service, it's just simply business arrangement. But this situation with Bali, this is simply the Lord's own lila. The Lord performs his own pastimes. The Lord performs his own pastimes, and this pastime that the Lord performs, it gives so much encouragement for the devotees. The Lord performs pastime for his own enjoyment, that's all. It was said that, sometimes, because being a devotee of Krishna is supposed to be whereby there'll be no problems. A devotee is, the part of devotional service is considered to be Ananda Kanda. It's a Kevala Ananda Kanda. It's a path whereby there is always happiness. It's a path of joy. So if devotees are always happy, they have no disturbance, they're always happy, everything always goes, they are peaceful all the time, nothing disturbs them. No suffering for devotees. So therefore the Lord, he has no reason to come to this material world. Why does he have to come? After all, when the Lord comes, he comes only for the purpose of his devotees. But devotees are happy. They have no problem. So why will he come? So he has no reason to come. He has no reason to come in the form of any particular avatar. He comes to Shingadev. He comes as, Ram, Krishna, Parasuram, Vama, Koma, Matsya. So many avatars is there that the Lord come. So why does he come if the devotees are not disturbed? Why does he have to come? If devotees are always happy, why does he have to come? He doesn't have to come. He just stays in his transcendental abode. So if, on the other one, if there's no incarnation of the Lord, if the conditions are not there, then devotees, they will have no subject matter of discussion. After all, when we talk of devotional service of the Lord, devotional service is based on Shravana Kirtana Smaranam, which means, you know, hearing, chanting, and remembering the Lord's Lila, the Lord's pastimes. So the Lord came to this material world and I performed so many, many wonderful Lilas. And these wonderful Lilas is the subject of the devotee's discussion. So therefore, Kapil Dev said, Shatay Prashanga Mama Viya Samvido, he said that my devotees, they get together, they congregate, and then they talk about my extraordinary activities. So because the Lord comes, he performs all these activities, which is, and these activities are simply meant to come and give protection to, and protection to his devotees. And Paritana Yasaduna, Vinasa Chaduskritam, the Lord come and protect his devotees and terminate the non-devotees. So therefore, these are various pastimes by which the devotees, they engage in. You know, so therefore, this episode of the Lord always have to come, perform so many pastimes in respect to giving his devotees relief from all kinds of material distress. So therefore, devotees, when they engage in this discussion, so therefore, they always transcendentally situated. But in this particular situation here, whereby Bali Maharaj is being rewarded. But this reward, as I said earlier, this is simply another aspect of the Lord's own pastime. It's Lila. This is just his Lila, that's all. You know, and as Srila Prabhupada mentioned in the purport, that there are many, many devotees who are given so much suffering. They suffer so much in their life, a lot of suffering they had in their life, and then ultimately they were rewarded. Just like there's an example of a Sudama Vipra. Sudama Vipra was Krishna's friend. They were in the Gurukul together. Was Krishna's very dear friend of Krishna. But Sudama Vipra, Brahmana, he had no money. Normally Brahmanas, they don't accumulate money. He was very, very poor. That he and his wife, they were, you know, they have just one cloth to share among each other. They have only one cloth to share. So poor they are, food hardly any food come their way. Maybe once in a while they may get something little bit to eat, you know, once in a while. So then Sudama's wife, he called her husband. So he spoke to her husband and said, "My dear husband, you know, you're a friend of Krishna. You know Krishna is the Supreme Lord, he's the master of all opulences. You are his very dear friend. Why don't you just go to him and, you know, and ask him to relieve us of our distress, to relieve us or to give us relief of our miserable condition. Why don't you just go to Krishna? Go to Dwarka and ask Krishna to give us relief." Of course, the Sudama, he was not really disturbed that, okay, their condition is so bad, you know. Why he should, therefore, he asked Krishna as his friend, you know, and Krishna is the master of all opulence. Therefore, he should go and ask Krishna. But he was not disturbed by it. But his wife kept asking him again and again, kept pestering him, "You should go to Krishna to make us happy." So, in order to make his wife happy, and at the same time, for him to have an opportunity to see Krishna, so he decided to go to Dwarka, to go to Dwarka and meet Krishna. And then, of course, on his way to Dwarka, even though, you know, when you go to see a great personality, you must take something with you. You have to give something if you want to meet a great personality. But what did they have? They only have some broken pieces of rice. That's what they have in their house. So this is what Sudama was carrying with him, some broken pieces of rice, which he tied in his cloth. So he went to Dwarka. But as he was going to Dwarka, he was simply thinking of the magnificence of the Lord. Krishna is such a wonderful form. He was thinking of, oh, now I'm having a great opportunity now to go and see Krishna. He wasn't thinking that, oh, my material situation is so bad, so therefore I can ask Krishna to give me relief. But he was thinking that here's a great opportunity for me to meet Krishna. So he went to Dwarka, and then when he went to Dwarka, and when Krishna was informed that his friend Sudama had come, so Krishna was so happy, he immediately brought Sudama to his palace, and actually put, because Sudama is a Brahmana, so he put Sudama on the throne, and you know, he washes lotus feet, and Krishna actually put the water that washed the lotus feet of the feet of Sudama, he sprinkled the water on his head and also on the head of all his queens, this way. And of course, Sudama was simply, you know, mesmerized. He was simply being, he was full of emotion that, oh, here's my Lord himself doing this. And then the Lord was asking to Sudama that, have you brought anything for me? What have you brought for me? So Sudama was, he said, what can I give you? What have I brought for you? I don't have anything, you see. So Sudama was, you know, He could not even think of himself trying to give the broken piece of rice to Krishna. But in this case, but Krishna noticed that in the corner of his cloth, something was tied at the corner of his cloth. Krishna noticed that. So Krishna grabbed that and he opened it and he finds some rice, some broken piece of rice, some broken rice. So Sudama, Krishna said, oh, this is wonderful. This is nice. Oh, you have brought me something very wonderful. And I started taking the morsel. So he took one morsel, he ate it. He took another muscle, he ate it. And then when he's about to take the next muscle, Rukmini stopped. He said, oh, stop. You have already given him so much. If you give him the third muscle, then you're going to give him this palace also. You're going to give him. So they already given so much already. You know. So this was the situation. And then, so of course, Sudama, when he came, he even forgot the reason why he had come. He forgot it. That his wife had urged him to come and ask Krishna to relieve his distress, their distress. So Sudama decided to leave. So he left, and of course Krishna bid him farewell. So he left, and he went back to his village. But when he arrived at his village, he could no longer recognize his place, his dwelling. He could no longer recognize it. He simply found there was a big, magnificent palace, big opulence, with so many ladies who are attractively dressed, gorgeously dressed, all wandering around, all walking around. So Sudama was wondering, what is this? Have I arrived at the right place? This is supposed to be my place of dwelling. So he was wandering around, and his wife came out running to him. He said, oh, welcome. His wife came out running to him. You know, she was like, she was as beautiful as the goddess of fortune. You know. So in this way, his wife came out running because Krishna had given so much. It's like the assembly. It's like assembly of Sudama has been transported into the place of Sudama. So therefore, you know, we had this wonderful opulence. But this opulence was not because, you know, of his being a devotee of Krishna. But this opulence was given to him because this is the Lord's own Leela. Because the Lord, he wants to see his devotee glorified. Now, there is one thing. We know that sometimes when one becomes a devotee of the Lord, you know, there's always all kind of tests. When someone becomes a devotee, in the Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter 88, text 8. So the Lord was saying, Yashaham anugrinami, arisheta danam sanai, tato danam tajanti ashya, swajana duka dukitam. So the Lord said, if I favor someone, when someone become a devotee, and I favor that person, what I do I deprive him of his wealth. I take away everything from him. Krishna's name is Hari. Hari means, stealing. The one who take away everything. So therefore, when you say Hari, Haribo, Haribo, you are calling Krishna, come and take away whatever I have. Come and take away from me. Whatever I have, take away from him. Just like every morning, we are singing that Ravana Tankara Makana Taskara Gopi Jana Vastra Hari, Bajira Kala Gopa Vrindavana Chitari Bansidari. So, Krishna supposedly it took away the clothes of the Gopi. It took away their clothes. Gopi Jana Vastra Hari, it took away their clothes. But what did it take away? Is it their clothes that take away? No. Chitta, is their heart. Is the heart that Krishna took away, not the so-called materialistic belongings. It is the heart that Krishna stole. So which means if Krishna stole your heart, then you become the most fortunate person. If Krishna stole your heart. Of course, all of us, many of us, we are, normally Maya steal our hearts, not Krishna steal our hearts. We're not attracted to Krishna still in our heart. But Krishna's name is Hari, so Krishna steals the heart of his devotees. So Krishna said, when I become favorable to someone, the first thing I do is that I deprive that such a person of only of his wealth, of everything. And such a person, he becomes useless in the society. He becomes useless in the society. So his relatives, friends, they say, oh, such a poverty-stricken person. What do we have to do with him? So everyone abandons him. Nobody wants to be around a poor person. Nobody wants that. Once you have become poor, you're on your own. Nobody cares for you. Your so-called friends, family members, they don't want to be around you. It's like, what value do you have? You have no value. So the Lord says, in this way, he suffers one distress after another. He suffers one distress after another. So the Lord said, this is my mercy to a devotee, to someone that I become favorably disposed towards. That I take away everything he has nothing, and everyone abandons him, friends, relatives, society, they all abandon him. So which means he simply wanders alone here and there. He simply wanders alone here and there. Apparently suffering one distress after the other. Now, there's a nice commentary to this verse, which was given by our acharya, Srila Vishnu Chakrapati Thakur. He said that due to the misery created by the loss of his wealth, the person is abandoned by everyone. But since this misery is given to him by the Supreme Lord, so it is not the fruit of material work. So which means when a devotee become poverty stricken, it's not because of his karma. It's not because of his karma, because normally in this material world, because of karma, sometimes we're in a good situation and sometimes we're in a bad situation due to our karma. But a devotee become poverty stricken due to the loss on arrangement, it's not because of his karma. It's not because of that. And also, when a devotee attain very good situation, like becoming very, very rich or whatever, also, that is not because of his karma. Because devotees also become rich. They have both. Some devotees are very, very poor, and some devotees are very, very rich. Both situations, it's not because of their karma. Whereas in this material world, we are poor or rich because of our karma. But devotees is not, because devotees, they are not under the influence of material nature. They are not under the influence of material energy. So which means, in both situations, it's not because of their material work. But rather, it's a coincidental fruit of devotional service to the Lord. It's called coincidental, which means it's just a concomitant thing. It's a concomitant, you know, factor that, oh, we are rich or we are poor, you know. It's just because this is the Lord's own wish. So therefore, a devotee is not disturbed by either way. Sometimes he's rich, sometimes he's poor. Devotee is not disturbed by either one. He's not. So like, for instance, we have many, many devotees who are giving so much distress despite their being the great devotees of the Lord. And the good examples are the Pandavas. Like like Bhishma Maharaj, he was actually lamenting. He was lamenting about regarding the situation of the Pandavas. So Bhishma Dev, so he was saying that, you know, how can calamity besiege a person like Yudhishthira Maharaj, who was the epitome of Dharma? How can calamity actually besiege him, such a person? And you know, Arjuna, he has his brother as Arjuna, the mighty bowman, you know, the great Bhima. How can calamity ever actually besiege such persons? This was the lamentation of Bhishma Dev, because he was saying that this personality, they were suffering one distress after another. So how is that possible? Not just that, they even have Krishna as their friend. Krishna is the friend of the Pandavas. But still, they were suffering one distress after the other. So Bhishma is saying, this is not something that can easily be understood. And he was saying that how wonderful is the influence of inevitable time. It is irreversible. Otherwise, how can there be reverses in the presence of King Yudhishthira, the son of the demigod, controlling religion, Bhima, the great fighter, the great bowman Arjun, with his mighty Gandiva bow? So therefore, this is as according to the opinion of Bhishma, he said this is the influence of irreversible time. So therefore, the Lord said, he said that the conclusion is that only the Lord Himself, because He's very affectionate to His devotees, so He knows His own intentions, and no one else. Because we can only guess, we can only speculate. But the Lord, He knows His own intention. The Lord knows why He put devotees in different circumstances. He's doing that knows that. No one else knows. So we can only speculate. So therefore, Yudhishthira Maharaj concluded, sir, now one can know the plan of the Lord Sri Krishna, even though he said that how can one know the plan of Lord Krishna, even though great philosophers inquire exhaustively, even though they make so much inquiry, still they are always bewildered. So this is the situation here, which has been described, that the Lord Himself, He engineer the distress of His devotees. He engineered it. Whereby devotees, they are put into one problems after the other. However, does this mean that devotees are disturbed when they are in a distressful condition of life? No, they are not disturbed. Just like Srila Prabhupada, he was always, this verse which I just quoted, Srila Prabhupada was fond of this verse. Because Srila Prabhupada, he was referring to his own situation, whereby he was practically abandoned by his family. Because when he gave up his business, and he was devoted to the cause of his spiritual master. So at that time, he lost everything. So he lost from everything, his wife, everyone basically abandoned him. So the Lord, so Prabhupada was saying, now, because Krishna has taken away everything from me, so therefore, because now, he said, I have seen the naked aspect of material energy. I have seen the naked aspect of material energy. I've seen. So, And of course, because the Lord wants to use him as an instrument for his own purpose. So therefore, the devotees are put in a varieties of situations like this. However, devotees are never disturbed, no matter what situation they are in, they are never disturbed the least. Just like Bali, when Bali was put in a decisive condition, you know, he was bound up by Varuna, by the rope of Varuna, he was bound up, but he was not unhappy. No, he was actually perfectly content. He was peaceful with it. He was not unhappy with it. And that's why the Lord said, because this Bali, he has been so tolerant of the problem which I gave him. He has been so tolerant. So therefore, you know, I'm giving him this, you know, this opulence, what is not even obtainable by the demigods. He was given, he's going to be living in the Sutala planet. I don't know, then his next life, he's going to become Indra in his next life. So I'm giving him this a very enviable position. So between the Lord himself was very, very impressed by Bali's own surrender. Even though he was put in his miserable condition, still he was completely tolerant of his own position. So therefore, Lord Brahma was saying, Tatenu kampantan su suksha mano, bunjano evatma kitam viprakan, rip vapubi vidatan namaste jiveta jo mukti parishadaya bak. So this is Lord Brahma saying that, my dear Lord, one who honestly waits for you to bestow your costless mercy upon him, all the while patiently suffering the reactions of his past misdeeds and offering you respectful obeisances within his heart, words, and body, is surely eligible for liberation, for it has become his rightful claim. So this is what Lord Brahma is saying, that yes, even though the devotees, they may be suffering all kinds of conditions, which are, and of course devotees, when they suffer, they think that, okay, this suffering condition of mine, this is due to my own past misdeeds, so therefore I'm being given this condition of life. But devotees, they are not bothered by it. They are, as Lord Brahma said, they are tolerating whatever condition it is, and then they are waiting. They know that they have the firm faith that the Lord will bestow his mercy upon them. They have such firm faith that the Lord's mercy is there. And as mentioned here, Mukti Pade Sadaya Bhakti. Mukti Pade actually means bhakti, which means devotees, their firm faith is that the bhakti to the Lord will eventually be their rightful claim. So therefore, devotees are not disturbed by any kind of reverses that may be there. So there are quite a bit of a consideration that we can give in respect to this verse. But one point as mentioned here is that a devotee knows that present happiness has past devotional activities as its cause, and present suffering has past offenses as its cause. Thus, a devotee peacefully endures all happiness and suffering and patiently waits for the Lord's mercy. He knows that his present happiness and suffering is really all the Lord's mercy on him. So all these different chapters, episode of Bhagavatam that we are hearing, this is simply meant to give us encouragement in the devotion service, you know, of the Lord. This is meant to give us encouragement. The Lord's perform his pastime. Sometimes the Lord makes his devotees happy, and sometimes makes them unhappy, you know. But this is all the Lord's lila, and also the Lord's own glory, the way the Lord wants to glorify his own devotee. This is part of the glories of his devotee. So, like the situation of Bali Maharaj. So Bali Maharaj, you know, he was not disturbed by the position he was in. So this is the glories of the devotees, and that's why Bali is one of the Mahajan, one of the authorities of devotional life. So therefore, we follow the footsteps of a personality like Bali. So I'm going to stop here because the time is gone. So if anybody have any question or comments about this text. Any question, comments? I hope you're all able to understand me. So thank you very much. Grant us Mbago Tam ki. Sila Prabhupada ki. Go people.